It indeed is a great, great blessing to be here at Camp Creek. Our hearts are burdened with yours for the sickness and deaths that have gone through your midst. Matt was telling me earlier when we were discussing some of your difficulties, and he said it seems to be a season of difficulty. And certainly that is the case. But we know our God is able, and He is a God of all comfort. Comforts those who are in any distress, and may that be true in y'all's behalf. It's such a blessing to be here and preach with Brother Kenneth. Brother John, I told Brother Kenneth I've never been invited twice within the space of just a few months, so don't quite know how this is going over. But no, all teasing aside, it's such a thrill, and I'm so humbled to be back in your midst. All of us ache and groan, have our own needs, those aspects of life that even overwhelm, whether they be from those that are very young to those who are extremely aged, whether it's simply a first day of school or perhaps facing a nursing home for the first time. Challenges are many and mountains are great, and the evidence of our weakness becomes very acute as we go through life. As Brother Harder mentioned, it turns us to the Lord. Book of Colossians chapter 1, Paul makes this statement. Beginning in verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then you notice the colon, and then he says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. The difficulties of life that become so acute and mount up before us have the really overwhelming and very devastating effect upon us that we really even desire would not happen. And yet being of the earth so often takes us away from that that we have once believed. Not taking us away from actually believing it, but perhaps taking us away from the realization of it, actually confirming our souls and undergirding each day. And Paul gives these remarkable statements about having peace made through the blood of Christ and how we have been reconciled, and that we that were sometimes alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works, yet we've been reconciled. And he goes on to say that in the body of his flesh, we actually are presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, there are factual statements of the gospel that we rest in for sure. Yet there are occasions when, again, their impact, because of the immediate circumstances of life, seem to be less impactful. And so he makes the statement, not that our remembering or not remembering has any bearing upon the fact of our redemption. The if here is not the thought that our faithfulness is going to determine the end. But he's making a plain statement that the realities that we so need to once again wash our souls and cleanse us from our weakness and difficulties is only going to take place as we continue in the faith grounded and settled. And again, it's not that the facts are changed, but it's that Paul is encouraging us to continue in this faith. And if I had a word for us tonight, it would simply be that. May God bless each of us, bless every one of you, to continue in the faith that has been grounded and settled. Very familiar language where Paul speaks to the Corinthian brethren and says that he declared unto them the gospel which they received and wherein they were standing, and by which also they were saved, if they were to keep in memory that which had been preached unto them, unless they had believed in vain. And there's such a great difference. I'm married every day of the week, have been for 39 plus years. But some days I am really married, and there are days when I'm married. And that's not Charlotte's fault, you understand, but it's because troubles and sorrows and whatever's taking place seems to overwhelm that I forget the blessings I have. If you continue, oh brethren, that which we need is simply that which we've always had. We need it again to wash over us in freshness. Pascal made this statement: there was once in man a true happiness. Nothing remains of this, the mark and the empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all his surroundings, seeking from things absent the help he does not obtain in things present. But he finds them all inadequate. And so it is for each of us tonight, perhaps, as we come to the place that we're inadequate. Rather than think we've come to a hopeless place, it's coming to the place that we are hopeless where we actually find hope. Amen. Again, and it's in the Lord. And so he said, why? Because the infinite abyss can only be filled with an infinite and immutable object, that is to say, only by God himself. And so it is. Attempting to find blessing, attempting to find comfort, attempting to find that which will encourage or strengthen, can only be found in the faith that we first believed, that which God has given us. Do you not find in the extremities of your experiences, when that which is so great, that which you did not want to take place, has taken place anyway, and you're brought to a sense of weakness, we long and groan for the world to be different, or perhaps for the world to be over, for there to be the ability that we could go on to another realm. C.S. Lewis made the statement, if I find in my desire an experience which cannot be filled and a world that cannot be satisfied, and that's where we come in difficulty. A longing that cannot be filled, an experience that can no way, it seems, be assuaged. He said, it is the most probable explanation that we have been made for another world. And that's what our faith brings us to. The fact that we are made for a different world than this world. Listen to Paul as he leads up to this statement in verse 23. If ye then continue in the faith. Paul writes, these brethren, thanks the Lord for them, and makes such high and lofty statements that they are just that, otherworldly. But friends, do not the difficulties of life prove that the comfort of life is not in this world, as C.S. Lewis said? Is it not true that the fact that we long for something that is never filled proves we are from another world? And so listen to Paul in Colossians 1. He thanked God and the Father of his Lord Jesus Christ and ours, praying for them since he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which they had to all the saints. They had faith in Christ. We had the blessing of having a baptism Sunday, and I told the brother as I stood there in the water with him and looked out at the congregation and said, "Do you realize how unusual this is?" Not the baptism. But I said, although we'd like to have many more, I said, the fact that this brother started attending some months ago, and one of the members of the church actually had known them in their youth and was actually weeping because the man had lived up until he was my age. That's a long time, you know. And was just now, having searched on the internet, come to the knowledge of the grace of God. And I said, do you realize how strange it is for him to be here loving what we love when the world thinks we are unusual and our faith cannot be proved? Paul thanked these brethren. And brethren, tonight I thank the Lord for you. Go back in your experience to the faith where you once saw that this world wasn't your home and that your own righteousnesses would never avail a reconciliation with God. And realizing what Paul is encouraging these people to again. We're reading now what led up to the fact where he said, continue in that faith. And he said, I thank God for your faith in Christ Jesus and for the love which you have to the saints. Why, the love that's been shown here already tonight. Do you see how unusual that is? Don't you know, as you visit nursing homes, many are shut away and left. Those from their own families are put away and forgotten. And yet this body of people has those that they love so dearly, and you have no blood kin, and yet your hearts are burdened as if they were your own mother or grandmother. Friends, that's something otherworldly. That's something not to be found this side of glory except through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have so much to be thankful for. Why, I can sit beside a grandson who a few minutes ago when we're singing, I know whom I have, believe it. And he said, Grandpa, redemption's powerful. And I said, amen. Indeed it is. Friends, what faith God has given us to know that that which was lost in the garden has been given us again in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were made for something better. Don't you know, in that original creation, they were given the authority over the whole world to dress it and to keep it over the garden. What a position. What an esteemed place. We all long, don't we, to have significance, to have a place where we have influence. Think of the influence that was there. And then something I kind of like, the fact that they were given the blessing of every seed-bearing fruit that brought after its own kind for their meat. I mean, you talk about a smorgasbord. They had anything they wanted except the one. Friends, what a large life, right? But then came the fall. And we were stripped because of the degradation of our own sinful hearts. That which we would seek would be away from God and against God and disbelieving in God. For by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But God in His great mercy and blessing, even before time, as Paul goes on to tell us, loved a people and chose them and would give His Son to die for them. And now we have a largeness and a blessing and really an understanding of the earth that is brought back to us, that this earth is not our home. And that when death even comes through sin and takes us away, and even though it is a difficult path often that brings us to the end, it's not just this earth now, but heaven itself will be ours. Why, the scriptures tell us in that place there will be no tear, no sorrow, no pain. Won't need the light of the sun. Prince, can we get the grasp of it? It's really beyond comprehension, isn't it? Oh, but let's continue in the thought. Paul says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." And then he even mentions a specific one who had been a faithful minister and declared unto Paul about their love. And he said, "For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Every time I see Brother Gus, I can't help but think of the work that was done in the Philippines. And I remember when Brother Dickie Daniels from our area went to the Philippines to aid the work there. And we gathered there at Luling Church and we bowed. Tears were shed, and it was as if our own hearts, seemingly in some strange way, were being involved. And here Paul is expressing that since the day he heard of their desires for the gospel. I know you guys that are young here on the front pew, you look at this old codger up here and you think, what do we have in common? But I've been here and I've seen your baptisms. I think each one, Brother John. And I would say sons in the faith, we're connected. We're connected. Oh, I know some of you were talking today about the Avengers coming out, you know, but we're talking about the real Avenger. You know, yeah, we can look at the trailers, you know, of that super movie and we're wanting to see it. But friends, I want you to look at this. God is going to avenge the earth. He is going to reclaim His own. And we may be years apart, but we're going to be caught up together and serve Him in perfection. Won't that be fantastic? And those who have gone on, and those who are yet lingering, Paul says, "I thank the Lord that you were filled with the knowledge of the Lord in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." It's not we need something new, my friends. It's the same thing again, that He loves us and He gave Himself for us and we're His. Phenomenal, astounding, overwhelming, inundating, awesome. that you might walk worthy of the Lord and do all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. How are we strengthened? Because we've got it all together. Let's get real. Nobody's got it all together. Everybody wonders if they're going to be able to make it to the end without throwing in the towel and even being ashamed to the very faith they believe in. Paul said he had to keep his own body under subjection, lest while he's preached to others. And I'm not going to say anybody's above Paul, even though sometimes pride gets the best of us and we think we can do pretty well. No, we're strengthened by the Lord. We're strengthened by the faith he's given us. That's what carries us through. Strengthened with all might. Now, friends, that statement alone is astounding. Strengthened with all might. You know the passage over in the book of Ephesians where he talks about the exceeding greatness of his power. Why do you have to say that about God? The exceeding greatness of his power. He's all powerful, right? The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. But here he says the exceeding greatness of his power has been bestowed upon usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And there is no temptation taken us except is common to man. And God will therewith make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. I wish I could take it away. I wish I could erase it. I wish I could make life simple and blessed. If not for you, I'm selfish enough, I'd like it for myself. But that way God wouldn't get the glory because we'd all get the big head. But in our weakness and our sorrow and our difficulty, he says we're strengthened with this great power, this might. And then he says, unto all patience and long suffering. Can you believe this next verse? Next word, rather? We're weak, so we need the strength. It's according to his glorious power. We can see the fact we need patience or endurance and long suffering. And then he says, and joyfulness. That's the gospel. In the midst of our depth, we yet see the height. In the midst of our weakness, we yet have strength. In the midst of our ignorance, we yet have wisdom. And he says, who hath, or rather giving thanks unto the Father. Oh, I wouldn't tell you to give thanks for the difficulties. That would be cruel. That'd be an awful thing. Well, just buck up. No, friends. But he says, give thanks unto the Father, who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. I think it's just beyond comprehension. It's a step above. It's beyond. It's way out there. We're actually going to judge angels. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. It's stupendous. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, talking about Christ. For by him were all things created. And now it's as if Paul cannot get it together. He cannot come up with the right words to say, as magnanimous as God is and as overwhelming as these truths are. And he mentions all things in preeminence, in all fullness, before all things, by him all things. all things created. Watch as he goes into this. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, which is the church, he says, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I mean, you can't get any more comprehensive. You can't get any more all-inclusive than this statement. The Lord is over everything. He has purchased all of his people. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And whether they be things in heaven, things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities, you can't think of a thing that's out of his control or that's beyond what he's going to be able to handle. And here we are in our little, here's where I am often, in my little tunnel vision, shaken like a leaf, thinking the last breath is probably the next one, and it's all over. And then Paul says the verses we began with. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. What's he saying? He's saying there's nothing that's beyond what he knows, that's out of his reach, that's going to overwhelm us. As we look to him, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, take that as current. It's past fact, but take it as current as well. Help us not to be alienated in our minds, in our fellowship, that we feel distant. But let us know we're not enemies. No, we've been reconciled, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Continue in this overwhelming, blessed truth in every difficulty that comes along. Keep thinking about that. It's true whether we think about it or not, but keep thinking about it, because it's God's means of carrying us until he comes again. You that are young, God help you. I love you for your stand for truth. He'll be with you in everything that comes. Those that are aged and diseased, and those of us that are afraid of being diseased, we're no longer afraid about age because it's already here. We can trust in him until he comes again. God bless you.
Amen.